Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. It is Wednesday, May 2nd, and that means tomorrow is Thursday, May 3rd. And there's a reason why I'm mentioning that, and that is tomorrow, May 3rd, is the National Day of Prayer. The American Family Association is encouraging you to meet with other Christians at your city hall from 12:20 to 12:40 local time tomorrow to pray for our nation and our leaders. Some people meet in other, you know, maybe meet in a room at work or something like that. But you can learn more and see if there is a local event planned at your city hall for your area at nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org. American Family Association has participated in this for years. We obviously need prayer of a magnitude that exceeds what will be done tomorrow, but this is one way in which Christians can get together and cry out to God for our nation. We are in desperate need of a move of God. So join with Christians across the country in corporate prayer tomorrow, the National Day of Prayer. Again, nationaldayofprayer.org. You can learn more and see if there's a local event planned for your area. Well, Ed Vitagliano, and in studio also with me is Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, good morning and or good afternoon, depending good on where our listeners are.
Good morning and good afternoon and good night if you're listening perhaps in Australia on the internet.
All right, go ahead and introduce our guests.
Yeah, we've been talking here about this bill in California. It's AB 2943 that really is a chilling bill. It puts it would make it illegal under California fraud laws to sell books, counsel someone, have a conference, do any kind of commerce that affirms the possibility of change, that you can lessen or get rid of same-sex attraction. And it is from the many lawyers that I've talked to about this, is a blatantly unconstitutional bill, but it doesn't look like it has much of a roadblock in passing. So it's already having an effect on some businesses and some groups that now are having to look at if they're going to be able to sell books, if they're going to be able to have conferences. And we've asked Dr. Jeff Meyer from Summit Ministries. Summit Ministries is in Colorado, and I was talking with Dr. Jeff the other day. It's the hardest climb in Colorado outside the incline to get to his offices. He's up there. But anyway, good morning, Dr. Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. You're Walker. Hey, Ed.
Hey. Hey, guys.
So tell us about Summit Ministry and why what you guys do has the potential of running afoul of AB 2943.
Well, at Summit, when students ask us for what their faith says about sexual ethics, we tell them their sexual ethics should be guided by the Bible. That's what's guided billions of people over thousands of years. But in the state of California, that message, if this bill passes and goes into effect, would be illegal. It could actually constitute criminal fraud in the state of California. And I know that sounds shocking. Like, it sounds like a horrible abuse of free speech, and it is. It's the most egregious chilling of free speech in my lifetime that's gotten this far and been taken seriously in a state in the United States of America. So at Summit, we had to make a tough decision. How do we fight against this? And we decided we're going to fight against it, but we're not going to put the kids we minister to in the line of fire. So I am buying them airplane tickets to fly to other locations around the country for training. And then we're continuing to fight the bill and all the other means we have available.
So, Jeff, how many seminars or conferences did you have planned in California?
We had two planned out there, a total of 13 around the country. So now we have found seats for all of those students in other places. It was good that we were able to do that. I'm very excited for our team, and we're helping them. If they needed an airplane ticket, we're getting it for them. If they need something else, we're getting it for them. We want to be with the families there. We want their kids to be trained. We just don't feel that California has created a climate where we can actually speak the truth to them about what's going on regarding sexuality.
So what you're saying is your Hawaii conference is going to be very crowded with people you put on planes from California.
That's a brilliant idea. There are 49 free states still, and we can pick out the nicest spots.
Well, that's actually a pretty a generous move. And again, your curriculum, you get questions, and then you have speakers who speak to biblical sexuality from a perspective that would be, under this law, illegal in California, right?
It would be very clearly illegal, according to the wording of this law. For example, we have a speaker named Christopher Yuan who speaks. He's a professor at Moody Bible Institute. Chris came out of the homosexual lifestyle and lives as a celibate, single man. That, to somebody who's struggling, you could live as a celibate, single person and have a fulfilling life like Jesus, would be illegal in the state of California. You cannot give that message to somebody if there's been some kind of a transaction. So our conference charges people. I mean, they pay tuition to come to it. If you went to a True Love Waits conference, you paid $15 at the entrance. Or if you went to a Christian concert, there was a speaker there who encouraged people to not have sex outside of marriage. That would be illegal. If they bought a book that said, for example, John Stone Street, Sean McDowell's book on same-sex marriage, that would be illegal. Those kinds of things would constitute consumer fraud in the same way that if somebody knowingly sold you a television that didn't work constitutes consumer fraud.
Jeff, let me ask you this. This is Walker. I know that as the bill reads, and many people, I haven't heard anybody make this comparison yet. But as far as the churches and the sermons that are being taught in the churches in California each week, maybe they're not there yet as far as trying to ban that speech. But if you'll start regulating private goods and services that teach on certain things, why not just expand that in 5 or 10 years to include even non-paid services, non-paid speech?
There, Walker, it's a great point, and I would encourage anybody to just Google AB 2943. You'll find a copy of the bill online. The preamble to the bill is a recitation of clinical studies, and I say studies with quotation marks because some of these things were studies, some of them were not, some of them are notoriously bad. This is junk science that this bill is being based on. But if you look at it, it's clear, Walker, that what pastors teach, if they teach a biblical sexual ethic, comes up against the reasons why this bill is being passed. So the question is, what will leftists do if they get a veto-proof majority in the both houses of a state legislature? Now we know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask this last question, unless you guys have something else. Jeff, this is Ed. In the work that you guys have been doing in terms of this conflict in California, maybe you've talked to lawyers, et cetera, I've heard read some articles and heard some people say that this bill could, if taken, I guess the way it is clearly written, could actually ban the sale of Bibles. Is that claim, do you think, outlandish, or do you think that is within the realm of possibility?
Well, I think it's outlandish, Ed. I don't know if that's the word I would use. I don't think it's correct, but for reasons that are sad, that the Bible is viewed as an archaic historical document and not relevant to encouraging people to live in a certain way. So the Bible itself is viewed as irrelevant, therefore it would not be banned. That's kind of the
okay.
reason right. that's going to be used. But I know that was the big news topic and that makes all Christians nervous, but the truth is, right now, we have to decide as parents, do we want another generation of attacks on freedom like this, or are we going to train our young adults to stand for truth and fight against evil in our age? And that's why we at Summit are continuing to do what we do. And I'm not ashamed to say, come to summit.org and find out how your family can be part of the solution.
Dr. Jeff Myers of Summit Ministries. We're talking about this bill, California Bill AB 2943, which is burrowing its way into the Constitution like an aardvark. It's insidious. Dr. Meyer, thank you for being part of our conversation today. We're looking forward to seeing how this works out for you and other ministries. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. I hope our next conversation is on a more positive topic, but thank you for tackling this.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Wow. I say that every time I get off this show.
What's that?
Maybe tomorrow will be more positive and uplifting.
This is a daily thing. We're used to this.
All right, Steve. Sure. With that positive thought in mind, what you got?
Israel and some of the other nations are reacting to some remarks by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. He is president of the Palestinian regions in that border Israel. And he said in these comments, he says it was the Jews' social function, including money lending, that caused animosity toward the Jews in Europe, citing what he said were books by Jewish authors. He also portrayed the creation of Israel as a European colonial project, saying history tells us there is no basis for the Jewish homeland. This is the people that are sitting and lobbing rockets
about that two-state solution.
Exactly.
That just threaded the needle in the opposite way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when people want to know why the Jewish state, the state of Israel, doesn't seem to want to engage in serious talks with the Palestinians, this is why. Because the PLO, right? Is it still the PLO?
The PLO is an organization that is
is
part of the ruling. It's part. I guess he would be president of the PLO. It controls their parliament, and he's their president. So yeah, I guess it.
PA is the Palestinian Authority.
Authority. He's really head of that. But
okay.
Yeah.
So they don't believe Israel has a right to exist. So that is why they're not really, truthfully, with any integrity, interested in any kind of discussion with the Jews, because they shouldn't be there.
Which makes it all the more remarkable what we heard the other day about the Saudi Arabian prince telling the Palestinians, listen, you better start coming to the negotiating table or stop whining.
Now, you think this is in response to what
from the AP, it says his rambling remarks were part of a lengthy speech to the PLO parliament on Monday.
Okay.
But
in other words, when did the Saudi prince say that? Was that over the weekend?
This was a week ago.
All right, so I'm wondering if Abbas is making clear that he's disregarding the advice of the Saudi prince.
And the other thing that's involved in this is now all the pressure on Iran. With Iran, the revelation we had the other day from Benjamin Netanyahu about Iran's complicity in continuing their nuclear weapons. Iran is a strong supporter of the Palestinians, arming them with some of the most advanced missiles that are out there.
And if you go over, if you've been to Israel before, I believe, was it 1945?
48 when it was established? 48,
yeah. By the UN, right?
Yes.
So when that was established, if you go over there, the Palestinians actually have some territory inside of Israel. These different kind of blocks that they've given, and they're not huge, but nonetheless, you go through the gates and you're in Palestinian authority, and they run their own little government in there. So, but that was kind of generous on behalf of, I guess, the UN and Israel to grant the Palestinians certain parts of even within Israel. So you could go to the extreme, and say that, I guess Israel could just boot if Israel took the same stance as this fellow, the Palestinian Authority, then they could just say, Palestinians have no right to be in Israel.
Well, those areas where they're living, the Palestinians, that is where they went in 1948. They fled there because other Arab nations told them, get out, we're getting ready to attack Israel. Hmm. You don't want to die. Mm-hmm. Get out. And so they basically set up camp waiting for Israel to be defeated, mm-hmm. and they could go back, and Israel won.
Right.
And I don't know if it was miraculous, but it was a kissing cousin, mm-hmm. Because they, the Israelis had no formal military. They had obsolete weapons. Don't want to go into a history lesson.
Yeah.
So that's part of the argument that's going on now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Arab countries and the Palestinian Abbas and the others say we have a right to go back in where the Jews are now living because that's our land. Well, then you should. I'm not trying to be ugly because there are Christians in that mm-hmm. group of Palestinians, but they listened to the wrong voice, and they're suffering the consequences. Meanwhile, no Arab nations seem willing to carve off any of their territory
right.
and give it to these Palestinians to set up a nation of their own.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And Ed just got to the point that I was trying to make earlier.
All right, what else you got, Steve?
We're getting ready for the 2018 midterms, and there's some good news for Republicans. You know, they've been talking about this blue wave that's been right. defeating everybody. Here's the good news. Hillary Clinton wants to be an influence in the election, and Nancy Pelosi says she's going to run for Speaker of the House if they win. That should be motivation enough for...
So that's the kind of thing, we were talking about this in our story meeting, that Hillary Clinton, I mean, a lot of Democrats have told her, probably not using these words, but please shut up. You know, please stop complaining.
Some of them actually use those words, I think.
Please stop complaining about how and why you lost the 2016 election. You lost. Let the Democratic Party move on without you. She's not popular. She has high unfavorability numbers. And is she implying or is she planning to actually campaign in favor of Democrats for 2018?
Well, she has started the engine on her party machinery. So she was at a... she activated the political machine attending a gathering of nearly a dozen progressive groups supporting by this group called Onward Together. And it's the organization that she founded, and it's aimed at advancing the progressive vision that earned nearly 66 million votes in the last election. So she's all in.
I'm guessing that this political organization would be able to garner funds to send her around and make speeches. So this would be a way for her not to spend her own money, but to build up funds. And if she had plans, say in 2020 to run again,
oh man, could you?
She'd
imagine?
She'd have money rolling in.
Even imagine.
I can't imagine many people giving money to this organization, but maybe she has believers who say, yeah, you know, she's coming back.
She's probably got an awful lot of IOUs outstanding that she's owed.
I've been reading a few headlines. I think one was on Fox about the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
And how they're relying on hefty donors, on billionaires and millionaires to fund the foundation. But that just proves the fact that the foundation has gone off a cliff financially, proved that there was, if not pay to play, there was incentive to give to the Clinton Foundation to maybe have favorable, you know, and maybe that is pay to play, but it seems kind of odd that your foundation monies go down when you're not in power.
Yeah, because the expectation was that Hillary was going to win.
Yeah, and at the same time, with a straight face, you claim that the foundation has nothing to do with my position in the government.
Yeah. You know?
It's one of those deals where if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah.
That was pay to play. These foreign governments giving millions and millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. The expectation was Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president.
Yeah.
And look how nice we've been to the Clinton Foundation.
I'm really surprised that was legal. Like, I remember the email from WikiLeaks, an email about Bill talking about former President Clinton receiving a $1 million birthday check from Qatar.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just thinking, that's so corrupt. If it's not illegal, it's still corrupt.
Well, there's the jury's out, I suppose. The thing is that nobody has the guts on the Republican side to go after.
Right. Well, and plus, you've got to actually have a smoking gun. You've got to have the check from Qatar,
right,
with a note attached saying, "We're giving this $1 million birthday present, wink, wink, to the Clinton Foundation for your birthday." But when Hillary comes into office, we want special treatment.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to, and nobody's going to say that.
Right.
Everyone's going to say, "Hey, can you slide it across the table? Little gift for your foundation, there, buddy."
And if
we
there
really
is that
appreciate
evidence,
what you're doing.
If there is that evidence, it was probably destroyed along with the hard drive.
Yeah,
with a hammer,
bleach bitted,
and bleached. Use the bleach. All right, what else we got here?
Let's end with a little more positive story.
And we've got 5 whole minutes. I hope
well, let's talk about this for 5 minutes.
Please.
Okay.
Let's see
all
if
right.
we can do this.
All right.
So Franklin Graham was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he has a new book he's written. It's called Through My Father's Eyes. It's about stories about his dad,
right.
Billy Graham, who just passed away. It's so fun to hear what he has to say. Every time he's on a national media program, he presents the gospel.
Yeah,
crystal
this is
clear.
A good story.
Crystal clear. And he did that this morning. And he was also asked by host Brian Kilmeade about the Pope's comments on hell. Listen to what he said this morning.
We're all getting closer and closer to that moment. The Bible says there is an appointed time of death for all of us. And then after that, the judgment. We're going to have to stand before God and give an account. There is a judgment. But that's why Christ came. He took our sins, because none of us can stand before God as sinners. But he took our sins, and he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, and he's coming back.
So the Pope made some news, and he later, they're kind of walking it back to a degree, that there is no hell. Does Franklin Graham think there is a hell?
Well, Jesus preached on hell. He taught about hell, so there is a hell, because Jesus taught about hell.
There you go. End of story.
Well, listen, we talked again in our story meeting about this story, and I'm glad we're talking about this, because Franklin Graham is a hero to me, you know, and to a lot of other Christians, just like Don Wildman, Tim Wildman, and others who are not afraid. We're talking, you know, Jeff Myers and others who are willing to get into this fight to try to bring revival to our country, but also to stave off the decay that is clearly underway. And Franklin Graham has withstood withering attacks, even from people inside the Christian community, mm-hmm. for his willingness to get into the culture war and the fight against the forces of evil, you know, in terms of what is being taught and what is being promoted. And the fact also that he is unashamedly preaching the gospel, and every time he speaks, laying out that message of salvation, and then standing on issues like hell. We have all heard, no sense in naming names, but we've all heard ministers, well-known ministers, going on talk shows and going, well, I'm not the one who judges, and we really have, you know what I'm saying? That kind
yeah.
of milquetoast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, you make me sick when you do that. Franklin Graham goes, yeah, Jesus taught there's a hell, like you said, mm-hmm. end of story.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's refreshing for someone to say, not I think there's a hell,
right.
or let me prove to you why I think there's a hell, but here's what Jesus taught on, the Son of God taught on, thus it is true.
And don't you think that if those that say that means there's an angry God out there, hell and spiritual death is nothing but separation from God. So if we choose separation from God, God accommodates us and puts
right.
us in a place where there is no influence, no grace, no none of that stuff.
No love, no joy.
No love, no joy. The absence of God is hell. Mm-hmm. And isn't it a loving thing for Billy Graham to tell people this is how you
Franklin.
Avoid it?
Yeah.
Franklin, and
yeah.
Billy too, but Franklin.
Right.
Yeah, this is how you avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Amen. No problem with ministers explaining like you just did and dealing with objections.
Yeah.
But what Franklin Graham is doing, like you said, Walker, this is refreshing. He says, listen, this is what Jesus taught. I'm not going to crawfish on that, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I side with my Savior.
Exactly. So, amen.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve and Walker. And our thanks also to Fred Jackson and Abraham Hamilton III. We are done for today's issues. Don't forget, tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, and AFA is encouraging you to meet with other Christians at your city hall from 12:20 to 12:40 local time to pray for our nation and our leaders. You can find out if there's an event near you at nationaldayofprayer.org. More great programming directly ahead. See you tomorrow.